Welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Feature Interview. Tonight I have a fabulous writer, director, actor, probably father too, who knows? We're not going to get into that. Director's Cuts here, Joe Kane, thank you for coming.
That's quite an introduction, I appreciate it, thank you.
Well, you do a lot of work. You want me to say the writer, directors, like nobody wants that. People want to be pumped.
I agree.
You got me. You got excitement.
So listen, it's all about the fun, you know?
I want to start off with the music. It's not something I normally start off on, but I find your film music plays such an important key element to everything you do in this film.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
I'm going to ask a question right now, and it could be considered spoilers, but I'm not going to go into any depth.
Shoot.
Does the opening music with the Mexican standoff tell us the end of the film? But we don't know that at the beginning.
Correct. There are, we intentionally dropped things throughout the entire film that told you the end of the film. So basically, if you pay attention for the first 20 minutes of the film, you know what the ending is. And it comes as a twist sort of ending, but there's the clues are all there. We wanted to drop breadcrumbs and say, hey, look, this is what's going to happen. But you don't know that.
Okay, I've seen the film twice. I want people to know that.
Oh,
so I did watch it twice to make sure I understood what I was writing down was correct.
It's direct.
So I just kind of want, I had some questions to myself. So I would suggest people watch it once and then go back and look for the clues because they are there.
Yes, yes.
And so on my notes, I'm like, I need to go back. So that doesn't matter. So you're saying all those musical cues as they keep changing, because you do change music. Two thirds of the way through, you do introduce a very strong musical change again. Yeah. And then obviously at the end, there's a third musical change. So that was your plan. Those are my crumbs to follow.
I have been on a couple of interviews and you're the first person who cued into the music changes and the way the music flowed through. Very intentional. There's a couple of things that are like background music that just needed to fill. But for the most
part, you know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the background music. I'm talking, they're definite pieces.
Yeah,
I go to the soundtrack, they're 1, 2, and 3.
Correct. Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Well,
how do people not clue into that?
I don't know. But you know what? I find that people clue into it kind of subconsciously. When you have like music like that in the background, you go, okay, well, I recognize that. And then it comes back and then you feel the shift. And, it's not something that you go, oh, it's that. It's something that you kind of feel and you kind of, you're moving forward in the piece and you're going, okay, well, this, why do I feel this way? And you may not necessarily know it. Now my background is I'm a musician. I started out as a musician. I have a degree in music education, actually. And I, being a music teacher, a branded, tattooed music person, it's important to me to tell the story to make sure that the music helps flow through everything that's happening visually. It's super important to me. And I refer back to someone like James Gunn. James Gunn picks his music before he writes his script. And that's something that I not necessarily aspire to, but that I respect. And I have gone to great lengths to go, okay, well, the music is just as important as everything else. I had a handful of music picked out before we shot one scene, you know, before we shot anything. And I was like, okay, well, these need to be here. These are the beats. This is what's going to happen here. This is what's going to happen there. And it was kind of a loose sort of outline of the whole piece in the pieces of music that we chose to be in there.
Okay. So did you do all the music? I tried to watch the credits on Tubi, I will say. And what pisses me off that people should need to know, if you're trying to read the credits, Tubi runs ads for the next film coming up during the credits. So I could not see.
Like Trinxit or something?
Trinxit. So it's impossible for me to see your credits. So did you do the music?
We wrote some of the incidental music and things like that. Myself and Wayne, the Wayne's back here on the, in the middle of the poster back there. I don't know if you can see him.
The tall guy?
The redhead, the Auburn color. Wayne is also a musician, and he's so, you know, when we were doing this, we composed a little things that went in between, but our time constraint was ridiculous on this. Like, we had very, very little time to actually shoot and get it out. So compose on top of editing and doing everything else with the movie, actually composing a score for it was very difficult. So we got a lot of our stuff off of Artlist. We're indie filmmakers. I mean, there's services out there now which make it possible for you to go, okay, I need this type of music, I need this type of feel, find the music. And that's kind of what we did. I had probably 15 to 20 pieces picked out before we shot a single scene. And as a matter of fact, on set, a couple of times I would actually play the piece just on my phone, just up in the air. I'd be like, okay, this is the vibe we're going for. This is what's happening in the scene here. You know, it's important to the integrity of the movie itself. And I feel like that gave a lot of genuine sort of feel to what we were doing on the acting side, because you saw, we were able to see and kind of envision what it was going to be before we shot anything.
Okay. We can move on for music now.
Okay.
we've done good. We're doing well.
And again, I don't know if you can see behind me.
I did. I saw one guitar. If you see the video on YouTube, it's a stack of guitars.
Yeah, if you're watching on YouTube, I have a wall of guitars behind me, and I there's a drum set on this side. It's kind of covered by my microphone.
I can see it. That
back there too.
I can see it.
So I music is important to me. So I'm glad you fired up with that as your initial question.
Well, which I didn't know you're a music guy. I did not develop that. So perfect opening. At the beginning, you show a bomb-making scene.
Mm-hmm.
And did you shoot that yourself? Like, did you design the little car and everything, or how was that done?
Okay, so, yeah, we shot mostly everything. the whole bomb-making scene, I literally went into parts. And those of you who are musicians out there will recognize some of the parts that I use. They're parts of guitar pedals. There's parts of airsoft rifles I had in there. Some electrical conduit boxes and things like that that I used to create that feel of a bomb. And we actually had a very good special effects person that we hired, Evan Alderon. And he is the guy who created that explosion. So this explosion was not practical. And if you thought so, thank you. And thank you to Evan. No.
No. That's my next question. Don't worry.
Yeah. Scratch that off the list.
Yes.
But that was the whole point of that was that It was supposed to be that old school feel of, like, you know, because it was a movie within a movie. It was supposed to have that, like, dramatic opening of, like, I kept picturing Mission Impossible. Oh my God.
Oh, you wanted me to tell you where that was from? Yes, I knew that answer. I didn't know where you were going.
Oh, I couldn't remember the name of the movie. But that vibe of, like, the Mission Impossible was kind of what we were going for in that opening bomb.
Oh, absolutely you were.
And there's a little Easter egg in there. And I don't know if I should even tell this.
Oh, I might have missed that then.
I actually was cutting one of the wires with the razor blade, and I slit my finger open.
Oh,
midway through, we're about three quarters away shooting that the bomb creation scene where it's close up on my hands. Like, we're talking, yes. My hands are
three quarters. I know what you're talking about.
And I actually caught myself with the razor, and we had to clean up blood off of all of the props. We had to re-angle shots and try to figure it out. Now, it's funny because most of it was shot sequentially because we were building this thing. There are some things which were shot non-sequentially only because I had slipped my finger open and decided to bleed all over the props. So, you know, I guess, you know, blood, sweat, and tears for your art.
So how is dealing with CGI effects? Like, that's the only one I noticed other than that big one.
Yeah.
Like, there's other ones, I didn't see them, or they were very minor.
They're very minor. They're very minor. We've dealt with some CGI in the past. We're actually working on a project now that is was already shot and in the can, and we're in the process of editing, and that's much more CGI heavy. I look at CGI as not something to create something fake, but to enhance what's really there. That's kind of my whole thing. Like, we couldn't blow up a car.
No, we can't. I get that.
The permitting alone is a nightmare, let alone the practicality of buying a car. And that would have blown all of our budget being able to do that. Although, believe it or not, I did talk to local firemen and local, could we do this? And they're like, yeah, but you need XYZ. Like, it could have been done. It was just more of a budgetary constraint thing. So any of the other sort of special effects that are in there are made to be enhancements as opposed to spectacles. Does that answer your question? I don't even
absolutely remember. Perfectly. Yes. This is the answers I want. I just, they're going, yep, thank you. Don't need to say anything else.
So there's a handful in there.
Okay. We open up the film. I don't think I ruined anything. There's a long tunnel sequence. You know where I'm at. Lots of action takes place. Constant action.
Yeah.
Now, is that the same? Was that choreographed work, or is that just you tell them, okay, I need a kick. I need a punch. I need this.
So getting back to the list of many hats that I wear, I have a second degree black belt in Taekwondo.
So it's you doing everything.
I've been training since I was 7 years old, 8 years old. And, you know, there was a long break in there.
I know where it is.
There was a long break in that sort of process of training, but I went to the guys in my class. All those guys are black belts from Taekwondo.
Oh, that's funny. Because their kicks look good.
Oh, thank
like,
you.
Like, I mean, they're nice kicks. I'm like, I wish the scenes went on longer, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I mean, being an indie, I know you're trying. I've seen the film, so I know where you're trying to get to.
Yeah.
But I could have used an extra 5 minutes of that.
Oh.
Like, I like that kind of stuff. Remind me of a lot of 80s B movies, like Billy Blanks. Cynthia Rothrock. Yeah. So I'm like, well, it's an indie. I guess they're going to give me one kick. Next guy gets like one or two punches. I'm like, did you ever think of extending that scene out?
We did. And okay. It was actually slated to be a little longer. There's one, we'll say, faux pass in there where we did have to shorten a little bit. And the reason being is the actor who went through the door and got blown through. So since I was choreographing everything, I literally choreographed. We went through all of this for about two months before we were doing like once a week rehearsals for 2 months to get what we got. And there were certain things like blowing through the door we couldn't do in rehearsals. When we got on set, we built that door that we went through. And we reinforced it with extra 2x4s on the back side. And then we dressed it so that you couldn't see them. And, the door was supposed to come down and land at a 45 degree angle with him laying on it. That was the game plan. And since I had it reinforced, I was like, okay, this is it. You just have to ride the door down. And we got to that point where we were shooting the door. And I said, let me show you what happened. I slid down and the door snapped. The extra 2x4s, it was like, it was nothing. There was no support whatsoever. And I went straight down to the concrete, elbow first. And there are some scenes in there. If you take a quick look, if you take a close look, where I'm wearing longer sleeves, but my elbow was about the size of a softball.
Oh.
And I had to shoot the rest of the scenes with the elbow not really functioning correctly.
Slice your head, elbow.
Like, I always seem to injure myself in some sort of capacity during a shoot. I don't know why. I'm very physical. I'm very, I like to be a part of the action, and I love doing action stuff. And if you don't commit, it's not going to read to the audience.
Oh, absolutely.
That's just how it goes. So in me committing, and ironically, we didn't even get that on tape because I was just showing the other stuntman how it's supposed to collapse. And, I blew my elbow. I had like this elbow was, my right elbow was sensitive for like 6 months after the shoot. Ouch. Yeah. It was not fun. I did go to the doctors after the shoot. And I got scanned. There was no breaks. There was no nothing. It was just a really hard hit. And, it just took some time to get better after that.
Yeah, I do have to ask, working with kids. I mean, that's always an interesting thing. I mean, I haven't seen your other films. This kid, child, maybe in tons of your films, or this may be his first film. I don't know.
Which kid are you talking about?
The one that was told to be taken out.
Oh, okay. So that's my son.
Okay. He does appear later too.
He does appear later. He's in the movie. He's Jason's. He plays Jason's son.
Yes.
He's part of the movie. He was there. My son did something very bizarre on this, and he kind of took, because I was in the scenes, he took over directing outside of the scenes I was physically in.
Oh.
Meaning he was actually going, okay, we're going to need this. We're going to need that. And I actually gave him a assistant director credit on this, because there's certain scenes that if you look at where I'm in the scene as one of the main focuses, I mean, there's scenes that I'm in that I was able to direct and go through, but the certain scenes that where it was a heavy Bart James scene, he directed it and kind of put his spin on it and said, okay, I need you to do this. I need you to do this. And he wasn't shy about it. He's only 11, by the way.
Oh, that's what I thought. I was going to say teenager, maybe 13.
Yeah.
He looks tall.
He's a big kid. He's a big kid, but he's only 11.
Okay. Well, good. So, good work, buddy. Good work. You got full props for me then.
Yeah. We did, like I said, we did give him an assistant director position, and that was agreed upon on all of us, by all of us. We said, look, he did that. Ooh, I should have light blow out in my room here.
I heard it. Okay.
That's strange.
I always go over locations, but you knew that was coming because you listen to interviews. Yep. The building, the warehouse.
Yeah.
Where is that?
That is in Hicksville on Long Island. It was a good friend of mine owns it. It is a music rehearsal studio. And again, getting back to music, which is like all throughout everything with me. He let us use the building, and he rented it to us for super cheap, like cheaper than we could get any other facility. And obviously it was a focal point of the movie. That was where it all centered around. And, you know, knowing our lack of budget, and I'll be clear with you, we had very low budget, and we had very short amount of time to actually shoot. And the editing was done in between things and trying to do it when we could do it. So he stepped up and he said, look, I want to help you out, and let me help you out and use this facility. We did use it in one other of our short films, that particular location also, because it's local. It's, you know, 10-15 minute drive from me. And, it has a good look to it. It definitely has a good look. That whole tarp that was in the middle was all the drum gear and all the amps that we piled up, and we're like, we didn't have time. And again, it came down to time and money and everything else. We didn't have time to move it. So I literally brought in a blue tarp and just covered it.
And it worked fine.
Sitting there. And it worked fine.
It worked fine.
It read. I think it read. And I'm glad you say so too.
It did for me. You could have two houses or one house. I wrote down the 33 house. because I know it says 33 house. I don't know. That's the address. Is it the same house twice?
There are two houses.
Okay, I thought so. And there's one apartment, right? The 2B apartment.
The 2B apartment, which that particular 2B, that's my studio. That's where we're sitting.
Oh, okay.
That's exactly where we're sitting right now. All the action in 2B took place in this room.
Hold on. I'm looking at a room with equipment in it and stuff. There must be a table then.
I took everything out.
Oh, my God. That must have taken hours.
It takes days.
Yeah, I'm looking. Sorry, people. I'm looking on the YouTube. How much stuff he has behind him?
As a matter of fact, it was out for another shoot, and literally yesterday, this all went back in.
Oh my God!
I've gotten it down to like a fine science. As a matter of fact, we painted the walls. These walls are. It actually still has a little aroma of paint in here. All of these walls were just repainted yesterday, or they were repainted 2 days ago, and everything else came back in. Yesterday. So,
I'm going to have to stop you. How does that work? Do you call family members or just the whole crew do it? Or how do you literally empty out your office going, we got to shoot here. We got to get rid of this stuff. And where does it go?
There's another portion to this area here, which is more like a storage area type of thing, right. Unfinished sort of section. And just everything gets piled. It gets piled. Okay. And like I said, we've done it so many times that I've got it down to a fine science. I've used we're in 2B. Like I said, actually, it's still I still have that sign on the door. I never took it off. So this has been affectionately called Studio 2B.
Fair enough.
And it was our little tip of the hat to, you know, William Shakespeare, to be or not to be.
Oh, there you go. Are we going to reference the Mel Brooks movie, or are you referencing the original?
I in particular, I was referencing the original, but we could go via the Mel Brooks.
I'm always giving you options. Okay. In the film, you brought up something I've never heard of, a phone bucket on a film set. Is that normal?
Yes. Okay. Yes and no. It's not necessarily a bucket. But there are bins, and I've gone on sets where, it's a sleeve on the wall, like hung over the back of a door with old school shoes used to go in the back of the closet door. They'll have something similar to that where you just put your phone in and you drop your phone in. Depends on the set. Where was I? I was on a movie called Begin Again. I was a background actor in that movie, and as we walked in, everybody had to drop their phones in one of these sleeves, and then you took a ticket, and there was a ticket in there, and that ticket was your number of your phone that you could come back later and get the ticket and get your phone back at the end. So it's something that some directors do, and some, you know, we took it into the direction of the bucket. But there's similar type of things where it was a smaller production, and in the production, it was a smaller production. So we said it would just be a bucket. You just put a bucket.
No, that's fine. I just have an issue with it. It's just more of a question. Yeah. Okay. Had you always planned when you were writing it? I know you have to get to the end of this film, but did you always plan on breaking the third wall when you did? Because it's a big jolt to the viewer. I find this is the creation of the second film. So the first film kind of ends right here after the phone rings. And then we go to film two.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, was that always your plan to literally abandon your first film and head to your second film?
Yeah.
Okay. That's my question.
It was always supposed to be a film within a film. And it was supposed to be the phone rings and it disturbs. We came up with a couple of different things that it would be. If that makes any sense, like we had a we're big into post-it notes and whiteboards and going, okay, it could be this, it could be this, it could be this, and you know, you have your avenues of what it could have been that broke it, and the phone just played into everything else that we had gone through, specifically talking about the phone bucket, and that the ringtone in that phone became important. So when you hear that ringtone, it plays into the story. rather than having it randomly ring at some point down the road and go, oh, well, that's the ringtone. No, there was a reason for it. It broke what we were doing. No,
totally.
So
now this is a weird question. Was the other first film have an ending? Was that ever going to be its own film?
No, no.
Okay.
I just had another light bulb blowout.
Oh my God. It must be me.
What a strange thing. It's getting darker and darker in here. Luckily I have a key light here, like helping me out.
I've noticed.
I'm glad, aren't you?
It's helpful. Yes.
I lost the question now because the light bulb blew out.
Oh, what was her?
Did the original one? Did the
movie
itself have an ending? The movie within a movie have an ending?
Yes.
No. Sorry. So, the ending was that phone call.
Okay, that's fine. I'm okay with that. I was interested.
We do go. Back
I thought it might have been an abandoned project or something.
No. It was shot specifically for this. It was intended specifically for this. We had to show that they were filmmakers. They say write what you know. And to be honest with you, we are filmmakers and we know filmmaking. So let's take three filmmakers and figure out like, hey, they witness a murder. They capture the murder on film. Like, how does this play out? The light bulb came back on. I'm having serious like electrical issues here and I have no idea how to explain it. Now you see the shine on my chrome dome.
It's all good.
it was always supposed to be a movie within a movie. Thinking about all those, Kiss Me, Kate, the Broadway production where it's a play within a play. We always appreciated that sort of thing. And, having a movie that we were actively shooting was important to us.
You bring it up at the thing. I just wanted to ask you, do you ever use a stage name?
Myself?
Yes. Cause you bring it up in your movie. So I thought it was an interesting question.
I don't personally. I'm Joe Kane. That's it. I brought it up, because Bart James, we came up with that name and I said, you know what? That can't be his real name.
No, can't be.
It can't be his real name.
I agree. It sounds like a stage name.
Yeah, that's his stage name. And in thinking about it, well, here's another little tip of the hat to my family. My grandfather was born with the last name Trzynski. And when we shot this, we said, we need to come up with a last name, that it was Bart, James, whatever. And I said, how about Trzynski? And Trzynski would have been my last name if my grandfather hadn't changed it. So when he came to this country, he was born Edward Trzynski. And he got to this country and he changed it from Trzynski to Kane. And we just kind of said, yeah, that feels right.
Do you normally like to show behind the scenes? Because you really get behind the scenes in this film. You show us a lot of behind the scenes. I mean, when that third wall is broken early on, you never go back.
No. There's one point where it does go back into the quote-unquote film that's being made there. But
for what? Maybe 25, 30 seconds?
We're not hiding our process. There's no reason to hide your process. And that's how people learn. And I'm a huge fan of like the behind the scenes things, like how did this take place? And I feel like everything we did there was you saw for the most part, you saw what was happening. It's educational and it's also entertaining too, to kind of find out what the process is behind. And we said, look, we're filmmakers. How do we write a movie about filmmaking? Well, we have to show the filmmaking. We have to show that this is what's going on here and this is what's happening. And this is how we would have captured that. This is how we would have captured it if it was actually being captured for a film, that beginning part, that whole movie within a movie. And to me, it was important to show the real process and not really hide it and fantasize about it. It's just going, hey, this is it. and basically everything you see, just, it's like pulling back one layer more. And then you can imagine what we're actually doing. And that's basically where we kind of geared it towards. Cause again, the movie is about a filmmaker, is about, yes, specifically the director, which is Dan, Jay. And it's all part of the allure of what it is.
Yeah. I do want to make one comment. If the scene was reshot, there's a scene where an actor is leaving the house, attempting to run to a car.
Mm-hmm.
That has got to be the slowest run in filmmaking I've ever seen. So was that reshot 3 or 4 times, or he's a bum knee?
I'm hard to place which scene in particular.
We're 2/3 of the film, probably about the 45-minute mark.
Okay.
They're trying to make a quick getaway.
Oh, they're leaving Sophia's house.
The house? Nope. Their house. They're running to the car.
Okay.
And it's the slowest run I've ever seen.
Oh.
And the car door is locked, and he has to open the car door. I'm like, what is going on here? You know exactly where I am now.
Exactly what you're talking about. I come stumbling out of the house.
Yes.
I'm supposed to have been high. I'm supposed to have been blown out on pills.
Yes.
So I had just passed out, and the kind of the idea was that it was a creative choice.
Okay. I'm just asking you straight out going, no, I'm confused. This is supposed to be a fast getaway.
Yeah.
I was totally told them, like, is this guy in any hurry to go anywhere?
Well, the idea was that Bart in particular was still blown out on drugs.
I mean,
popping pills. So there is a take of it where we just bolted, where we were.
That's what I was wondering, because I was wondering what was going on. Okay, perfect. Yes, I saw it.
It's unbelievable. They're like flickering on and off. It's like I can't even explain it. Yeah, okay. So maybe bad acting. Maybe a bad acting choice.
I'm just asking. I don't know. I'm just like, it seems like a weird take to me. That was why.
There were a couple of takes where we were bolting. And what happened was we decided that there was a callback with him unlocking the door to the very beginning where he couldn't unlock the door.
Yes.
And that was something that we wanted to add in to kind of call back to that, to go, hey, you know, they get in the car, but this is something that while That's Wayne's character in a different film that we made.
Oh, of course it is.
My brain is like not working here.
Neither is your life.
Wayne, who played Ron, he gets in the car and doesn't unlock the car.
Right.
So it was kind of like, you know, almost to us, it was kind of like a moment where it was like, oh, he still doesn't do this. He's in a rush and look, he's still forgetting to let Bart in the car. So that decision was kind of made in the editing process. Like I said, we had a couple of different takes. So maybe it was the wrong decision.
It was just a question more than anything
else. No, it's okay. Listen, call me out. That's what we're here for.
I'm going to call you out 100%. I can't resist. You do bring it up in the film, so I'm going to bring it up here. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had a problem with a star? Could you definitely hammer that in the film? So I'm thinking that's a yes.
I am not going to point any fingers.
No, I'm not asking you to name names, but I definitely felt that was a shot at somebody.
Not in particular.
Fair enough.
Not a shot at anybody in particular, and not a specific reference to exactly what has happened in the past.
Okay.
But sure, listen, you work with difficult people. Everything that we've done, we've been very blessed to work with a lot of people that we love and a lot of people that we are close to. If you see the credits, I mean, a lot of this film was family.
I tried. I really did try to read the credits, as I said.
It's on IMDb. You can look it up. There you go.
I like reading them as I go, because then I can note as I go.
So
I have to go to IMDb. They're all gone out of my head, my ideas.
My brother is Jay. My brother is the guy who plays Jay.
Oh, okay.
That's the little guy is my, you know.
Yes.
He's that's my younger brother.
And you do look familiar. You know what's funny? I did think of that at one point. And I'm like, eh, I'm just reading into things.
We look different enough with the bald head and the and everything else.
Yeah, but the face, the chin and stuff looked very similar. I'm like, eh, I'm not going to worry. Again, tried to read the credits and they don't let me because they put an ad over it. I couldn't. Dan, isn't your brother Dan?
Dan, yeah.
Dan, see, I did have a note for Dan Kane. Yeah, see, I did know.
And Wayne, his brother is in it too. His brother plays Kevin. His brother's Keith. And his brother plays Kevin, the guy who was sweeping the street at the...
I was about to say, it's got to be the sweeper guy.
Yeah, yeah, that's their brothers. So, you know, it's definitely a big, strong family thing. My son played a part. My son played my brother's child.
Yes.
And my daughter was also in it too. My daughter was Jerry, the girl who left her phone, and she was the boom operator. So it's definitely a family affair that we wanted to be all encompassing. My family is very important to me, and Wayne and his family are very important to him. And it was like when we started Heckler Kane Creations, the idea was that this is for our family, so perfect, that we can have something to, you know, hopefully a legacy to go, hey, look, this was all our family.
Hey, the adding of sound effects, were they always going to be added in the film, or you just thought they were needed? Because there are lots of added sound effects. You can see it in a lot of your shots. So was that to enhance afterward? You shot and said, I think I need more sound here.
I think any project you do, you need sound effects. Again, it gets back to the CGI and stuff like that. Like, you want it to not be standout, but there's certain things that need to be enhanced. There's certain things that need to be in the right place, so that is, this light is like driving me nuts. It's blinking in and out. I don't even know what to say. And they're taking turns. There's two of them that are going on and off and on and off and on and off. There's nobody in the room with me. I'm by myself, so it's not like somebody's
normal activity
with me. Yeah, exactly. as far as the sound effects go, it's to enhance the scene. If you were to take the natural mic sound of everything that we were doing, we intentionally overdid that film within a film. We made those sounds like out front, like it was supposed to be like overdone. And then the intention was to mellow it back to more natural sounds and more like, okay, you know, we have to make a door close. Like, there's a couple of scenes where people leave a scene and you'll hear a door close in the background, and it's very subtle and it's very faint, but you know that person went out the door. There wasn't a door that was in the direction that person left, so they just kind of go off camera and
fair enough,
the door closed. So.
Okay, you have no blood in your film, which I was kind of shocked, because I think there's a couple scenes that could have had a few drops. Let's leave it at that.
Correct. Correct.
Was that a conscientious decision or a cost factor or just no dime?
Conscious decision. We didn't want this thing to be gory. I'm not a huge fan of like slasher films, like where there's gore and stuff. And we did a short film a few years ago, which we just like, we went for it. Like there's somebody's toe goes flying and you see everything. I'm not afraid of it, but in the inception part of this, where we were coming up with this, we said, we don't want it to be gory. We want it to be naturalistic. In retrospect, probably, yeah, we could have put in a little bit of blood, but the whole point of it was to go, okay, well, we want to keep it where it's almost family friendly, even though the content and everything else was not.
This is pretty family friendly. I'm sorry. There's nothing here that they can't watch. Well,
like I said, I had both of my kids on set. And it's not that I haven't done – I did this thing about a vampire, and I'm covered in blood, and I'm like, I have contacts in, and I look like somebody, I murdered somebody, and my kids are standing there and they're okay with it. But I wanted it to stay sort of in that realm of like, you know, if you watch this with your kids, you wouldn't go, oh, he got to cover his eyes because there's blood going. there, you know. So yes, it was an intentional thing not to be gory, not to we wanted to tell the story is ultimately what we were looking to do.
Okay, who did the drawings?
Me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I know there's a lot of drawings in there. They're all digital. I did all the drawings on Photoshop.
Oh, that I didn't know. I couldn't tell.
Intentionally to make them look like they were hand-drawn.
They did look hand-drawn to me.
Yeah. Oh, good. Good.
Because I would say yes. I thought they were hand-drawn with a Sharpie maybe. I wasn't quite. Yeah. I mean, they are shown kind of quickly and then dropped.
Yeah.
And then you pick them up and I'm like, oh, okay. They are relevant, but it's a quick take. So I don't really.
Well, in the credits, I don't know if you got to see the credits where it's on the white screen at the end.
I only get to see the first one and then they just start pounding me with ads over it. Your next film will play in 17 seconds.
Every single one of those credits are done that way. To make
look
it
look like a character.
At the end, to look like a caricature, to make it look like
someone. I saw one or two, and that was about it. Then they were gone.
Yeah.
Which kind of annoyed me.
Yeah. There was care taken in that we wanted to every single character in the movie, and major character. There were a couple other people who were, you know, extras, for lack of better words, or like one-liners. They were all given a one of those caricatures at the end to kind of show that, like, hey, this is the film and this is their portion of it. So
okay, we have an award at the end of the film, which I don't think I'm ruining anything. Mm-hmm. What was that made out of? Looked like tinfoil or something. I couldn't quite figure it out.
It is a spray painted rubber ducky.
No way. Is that what that is? I couldn't figure it out.
It's a spray painted rubber ducky. Oh my God. I have it. Like, I have it right over there. Okay. You want to go grab it? Go grab it. My daughter just walked in.
Oh, there we go.
It's on the shelves, on the left over there, in the clear bucket. It's a spray painted rubber ducky, which I thought was interesting.
It was good. My last question about the film is the very last scene where there's three children playing.
Uh-huh.
Now, is that you guys? I thought whatever, because it looked, I'm like, these look like the real guys.
Paint's melting off of it.
Oh my God, the paint's melting off of it. I just brought in the rubber chicken for anybody.
Oh my God, yes, that's 100% it.
It's actually melting off. I don't know why it's like kind of sticky, but it is That's a spray painted rubber chicken on a block.
There screwed. You, go. You can't really see it.
Yeah.
So how old is the footage set at the end of the film?
Oh, you were asking if that's actually us?
Yes.
No, that's not actually us. We shot that.
I wasn't sure.
I would have loved to tell.
I don't really know what you guys look like, so I'm trying to guess here. I'm like, is that them? It could be.
So
you brought in more kids.
Yeah, we brought in more kids. One of the kids is my nephew, and he played Jay, my brother Danny. He played the younger version of him. One of them is my son's friend, Nathan, who played Ron, because he had red hair. We're like, oh, redhead, let's go. And then the other one is my friend Brett's son, Jesse, who came in and played the younger version of me. And what we did is we looked at the kids. We're like, okay, well, we need kids that look like us then. So I'm glad you said that. You thought that was actually archival footage.
I wasn't sure, because you definitely play with the color correction then. Mm-hmm. You make it look archival. So I'm like, I have to guess here. I don't know. Because I don't really know what the actors look like as kids, because they don't really know you guys. So
yeah,
I have to kind of guess here, because you're shooting, I'd say, 25 feet away, maybe 15. And those kids are playing. They're not like standing there going, look at me. Like, and then I had some idea. They're kind of like, I have to guess here. Yeah, so it's good job.
Thank you. Thank you. Jerry, you want to come say hi? This is my daughter, Skylar, real quick. Come on and pop in. Skylar played Jerry in the film.
Oh, I recognize you now. Yes.
Say hi.
Hi.
Hi. I don't know. Hair, sit down and have some fun questions. Sit
she
down.
Can you can hear answer. You. I'm in the...
You can ask her the questions you for
question
me.
Question for her? All right. Hang on a second.
I do.
All right. He's got a question for you. Here. You sit down. Yep.
Oh, God. Ow.
Hello.
Hi.
I'll just wait for your dad. Can you hear me now? Okay. Well, since you guys are here for the fun question part, you can play along.
Fair enough.
Okay. Since your first time on the show, everybody gets the same first question. If you come back a second time, you have all new questions. So okay. Good luck. Your favorite film?
Like ever?
Ever.
Wait. Hold on. Wait. I don't know.
That's not a fair answer.
Probably 101 Dalmatians, like the live action version.
I was about to ask you live action or cartoon, so good answer.
I'm Blues Brothers is my favorite.
Okay, question two. During the film, your dad, they discuss favorite horror films. Is your answer during the film your real answer, or is there a true answer?
My real answer is not Blair Witch. I'll tell you that much. One of my all-time favorite is the original Halloween. There's something about it. You know, there's the remakes and everything else, but that original Halloween is definitely my favorite horror film.
Do you have a favorite horror film?
I've only ever watched one horror film, Insidious,
which I love.
I guess because that's the only one I've ever watched. But
okay. Let me help you out. For your generation, what is your go-to film?
I don't know. I usually tend to just, like, watch older Disney films.
Are we talking Disney, like, those kid ones? Like, I'm trying to think of
them. Yeah, like the Disney princesses.
No, I'm thinking, like, the one with the leprechaun, those Disney movie of the weeks. I can't remember the proper term for them.
I'm not sure.
I wish I had a better term.
I can't think of it either.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Okay, your last question, because you're all here. See, they're easy questions. This is at the end of the show. Your favorite on-set meal?
We only had bagels.
Yeah.
That's it. We had plain bagels and then like a box of cream cheese and a box of butter. And that's it. That's all we were
You're going to eliminate all the actors from ever coming and working with us again.
Sorry.
We kept it very simple on these sets for the days we shot this. So,
okay, I'll ask your daughter the last question. Before I let your dad go, do you know where to find his film?
Amazon Prime.
And?
What's the other
Tubi.
Do you have anything else, people, to find you? You want to drop your socials?
Yeah, sure. You can find out all of our information at hecklerkane.com. And then HecklerKane.inc on HecklerKane Inc. on Twitter and at HecklerKane on Facebook and Instagram.
You got there.
So you can find out everything at HecklerKane.com. We have links to everything there.
Thank you for your time and have a great evening.
Simon, thank you very much for having us.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening to that interview with Simon. Could you please rate and review us on iTunes and Spotify? And if you have any extra change, feel free to send it to us at PayPal. And that's extrafeatures@gmail.com on PayPal. Thank you. Bye.